We're still talking about the sin offering. The sin offering and the trespass offering. Are last in order of institution. When you look at it in Leviticus, it's first the burnt offering, and then peace, then meal, and then trespass, and then sin. But and this is the opposite in terms of how they are applied. They are applied by the sin and the trespass offering first, then the peace, the meal offering, and then the burnt offering last. So by the way in which they're presented, it reveals how they're applied, but the opposite is true about how we apprehend. And that's what we're going to discuss today. First, we apprehend portions of the trespass offering, and a few offer and understand the sin offering. But the opposite is in Christ's sacrifice. He had to have been accepted as in the same order that they're presented in the law. He couldn't have been the sin or the trespass offering unless he was first the burnt offering. And this is critical for us to understand, because in us, the burnt offering is the last thing we apprehend. And it can only be apprehended when you know that you're seated on the mercy seat, that you are dead, you being the evil one, and Christ alone lives. But this trick that the evil one uses to constantly tempt you to resurrect the evil one never stops. The only thing that stops is the ability for you to see quickly. And as Tom said yesterday, to turn the switch off the minute your mind starts to take over. And this is, you know, at the start of your apprehension of it, it has to, I mean, it seems like you're, I said often that it seemed like I used to repent about 1,000 times a day. Now I only repent when I'm tempted to use my mind to solve something, to solve a problem. I've had to repent a lot lately in terms of, what do we do about money for Trinity Foundation? Because it seems like every path I've been down to try to raise the money, there was some, either I screwed up, which is probably most of the time, or the people that were going to donate were afraid of being sued. And so the raising of money has been very difficult, and therefore it seems like I'm constantly repenting, because I always try to resurrect some plan or some activity of my mind. And it's a rough road to hoe. And I know it's a rough road for you to turn that switch off the minute your mind starts to talk. The minute that board of elders, your Jerusalem that now is, starts to run your life instead of faith. You know, God sees a huge difference between sin offering and trespass offering. And that's why we must see it. The sin offering is for who you are. The trespass offering is for what you do. And if you constantly resurrect yourself, then no matter what you do, the sin offering is, you've denied it. Is that clear? Or am I just talking in riddles?
what's not happening, or I'm reliving something I did wrong in the past, or I'm judging or condemning someone else for not responding like I like, or hearing me out, or acting responsibly, or dumping shit on me to do. And so it's all these constant reactions to me that, that's where you and I got into it, to me, are the evilness versus just a simple thought. A simple thought seems fairly pure. I don't have an agenda. I'm not trying to gain anything. I'm assigned duties in life, and I try to do them freely. But I have expectations of the world around me and expectations of myself that get me on the royal judgment sheet. Oh, she's not aware.
Did you say some thoughts were pure?
I try to think that there are certain endeavors that are non-evil, that they have no agenda to gain anything or hurt anybody, or it's just...
But that's the trick.
Well, that's where I find...
Do you think some thoughts are pure?
Your theology of abandonment is so damn untenable at times. Not like I disagree with it.
Well, but I think...
Only to the tenth power versus only to the second or third.
No, this is an only. That's why I've tried to continually go to the scriptures to show it.
Well, it is more unique to you than what I've heard the rest of my life.
Well, here's the secret. The secret is Romans 8. Go to Romans 8 and see if it can be seen really.
I did have one last footnote. You know, when I talk about others, so much of the evil in my mind is about me, with not forgiving what I did to myself, with wanting to have a sunburn when I was a kid or a suntan. Now I look what I probably deal with the rest of my life. It's damn near depressing.
The first thing that we have to understand is when the scriptures say we are dead, from a spiritual standpoint, that means that you are eternally separated from God. There's nothing that you can do to please God. There's you as long as you continued with your mind, then you're eternally separated from God. That's the meaning when I keep telling you that we died on the cross, and that's what the scriptures mean. The second death is when you physically die. But the main death that affects us most is the apprehension that we are dead and eternally separated from God, and we are dead because of what I'm about to read.
Romans 8.
Huh?
Romans 8.
Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now you'll note that who walk, if it's not, if you haven't done it in the Bible, it's the phrase who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That's not in there. That's not in the original writing. It's a gloss. It's a something that the translator put in because he thought it would help us understand. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, period. Because to be in Christ Jesus has to mean that you have died. Well, we'll see. Let me continue. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, the law isn't just this book of laws called the Old Testament. The law is the way a thing works. The law then is, if you really conceive what's going on in your mind, it's all about cause and effect. It almost never stops. You know, you escape from the world because you find out the world wasn't fit, or the world is the survival of the fittest. You find out that you're not fit, and so that's the exodus from the world. That's what we call being born again. But there's another exodus, and that's to come out of Babylon, because I used to say to Harry, he left Egypt in a jet plane, made a touchdown landing in Jerusalem, and then flew directly to Babylon. Because he could not conceive of living without cause and effect. That's all our minds do. Even in our sincere, purest moments, it's tainted. Our most pure understanding of thought and everything else, it's tainted because it's originating in the evil one. And so there's nothing the evil one can do. There's nothing your mind can do that isn't evil. Well, this is the problem. We have, all of us, every single one of us, have a core program that says there is something we can do that is good.
So the core program of Tom was he was making the soup to get adulation and admiration?
Yeah. I like to cook, but it wouldn't be any fun if nobody enjoyed what I was doing. I wouldn't do it anymore. So yeah, that's the core program. Tom wants somebody to say, I really enjoyed your soup.
All right, good. Sorry.
All right, listen carefully. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us by our death. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now the only way you can walk in the Spirit is the walk of not using your mind. Now this seems like it's impossible. It's not possible to do that. It's the most difficult thing in the world. Everybody gets mad at me when I say it's as easy as breathing. It's as easy as a tree growing, that pecan tree producing pecans, or the peaches producing the peach tree producing peaches. It's not difficult.
It's impossible. You just heard me say it, so.
It's impossible if you continue to use your mind. You try to use your mind to understand Scripture, that's what's silly. You're using that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. It can't happen. The only thing your mind can do is to see the emptiness of what you're doing. And then you go do something else. And then you go through that again. And you go do something else. That's the lesson of Abraham. But it took Abraham 100 years before he saw. And his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, the breath of God. It took Jacob the struggle of a lifetime. We don't know how many times he wrestled with the angel. And he said, tell me your name. I'll let you go. He wouldn't tell him his name. As you've heard me say 1,000 times, Jacob never used his own name. He was always son of. Because Jacob means the way of the snake. That's what the word means. And so until he could confess that he was the way of the snake, the angel wouldn't let him go. Now, this is all the angels are doing. This is all the Holy Spirit is doing. He's convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin. Not because of what you do, but because of who you are. The only righteousness is that he's gone to his Father. And the only judgment is that the prince of the world has been judged. Now, you see those simple three statements of the job of the Holy Spirit, it is the evidence for everything that I teach. So the Holy, it can take you forever. It took, Harry didn't understand until just 2-3 months before he died. And finally, he died in total peace because he finally saw. Now this isn't a debatable issue. I'm not going to anymore sit around and debate whether this is true or not, at least publicly. It's the fundamental doctrine into which we've been delivered. You dead, he lived. Now listen to the rest of this. For they that are after the flesh do mind or give importance to the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be fleshy minded is death. Your mind is flesh. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the flesh mind, is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, the only evidence that you're in the flesh is you give importance to things of the flesh, of time and space. Is it possible to live without using your mind? Is it possible to every second of every day give it back to God? Without even waiting 10 seconds or 10 minutes. To be carnally minded, and carnally minded, carnal just means flesh. To be carnal, it means meat. To be carnally minded is death. For the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Now that's all that should, that's the only reason I'm here. That's the only reason we meet every morning. And that's if you don't know that your mind is your worst enemy by now, Let's go to 2 Thessalonians.
Is to be spiritually minded, that's a stupid question, is to have the mind of Christ.
That's emptiness.
When I think of being spiritually minded, I think of serving.
No. Because you think it's a good idea.
Serving others without accepting.
That's the fruit. That's positional. It's not something you can do. Because if you do it, then if somebody doesn't appreciate it, then you won't accept. You get mad.
Sometimes.
If somebody doesn't appreciate it, you know the mind talk starts. So it's because it originated in the flesh. It can't please God. Do you have a thought that doesn't originate in the flesh? That's the question I want to ask you.
I sure hope so. I sure hope
not. Well, you don't.
I guess I don't.
And you have to admit that you hate it as much as Tom had admitted it. But you think you can improve your mind by hearing the cross. No. Took Tom 40 years.
42.
Okay, Kim. Do you accept after the hundreds of times we've studied it, do you accept that the scripture says you are the Antichrist instead of Christ? And your number is 666, and it's written in your hand and your mind, your forehead. If you don't accept that, then you won't hear anything else. If you accept it, then you have the possibility of understanding what life without thought is. Here's what it says. First of all, it says, well, let me read. Let's read the chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. That's all I preach, and it's all I've preached for 40 years, that the day of Christ is at hand. It's near, it's here, it's not at hand, it's here. Now, if that's right, if you don't believe it's right, if you don't believe the day that the day of Christ is here, then nothing I say will mean anything. Because let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now I believe that the man of sin, the son of perdition, has been revealed because the day of Christ is here. Now that's massively radical. To say it publicly, you will be killed. Or at least you'll get extreme anger and people not wanting to associate with you. Here's what it says. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come an apostasy, is what it means, first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, if you don't believe that's what you do, if you don't believe you're the temple of God, and the word temple here is naos, which is the only temple. It's the only the holy place and the holy of holies. That's all that's in that temple. You are the temple. The hiring is the temple complex. That's never used except when it's Jesus said the Pharisees were talking about the temple as it sits at that time, and Jesus was talking about the temple now, and he said, destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. Now talk about making people mad that worship the temple. But here, it's just as bad in terms of making people mad to say that you are the evil one, the son of perdition, that you oppose and exalt yourself above all that is God or that is worshipped, so that you as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing yourself that you're God. Now the only way you can show yourself that you're God is defined in Genesis 3. He said it. Someone who thinks they know good and evil. Let's go there. Just look at it. Genesis 3. Verse 4, and the serpent is talking. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's exactly what it says in 2 Thessalonians.
Yeah, the interesting thing part that is that you said over and over, it's not a talking snake, but you know that's your mind saying not, you know, you shall not die, you shall know good and evil.
Still, he's saying the same thing.
Yeah, I'm saying is that's more important in terms of knowing what your own internal motivation is. It's not that, you know, oh, you can go ahead and touch it and you won't die. The important thing is that you'll know good and evil. That last statement is the biggie, I think.
Oh, it is. But that's what your mind does. It automatically judges what's good for you and what's bad for you, and what's good for others and what's bad for others. What's good behavior? What's bad behavior? What's socially acceptable? What's not socially acceptable? How you dress? How you talk? Do you have manners? That's what you do. You sit there in the temple of God, judging good and evil. Living by cause and effect. I promise you, God doesn't even see you. He's sending His Holy Spirit, has sent it, to do 3 things that we said. To show where you don't believe on Him. On Christ. To show that any judgment you have other than the prince of the world has been judged is worthless. And to show you any anything good or pure, the only thing good and pure is that he's gone to the Father. It's the only righteousness. If your mind wants to think on that. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are good report, etc., etc. Whatsoever things are true, prove, or pure, good report, think on these. Well, if you think on them, you'll come to the conclusion the only thing that meets those standards is Jesus Christ. So the sin offering is about the death of your mind. That's what it is. And that's why we're studying sin offering. Amen? Because if this apprehends you and you apprehend it, then the spiritual life is easy. You can't have a problem. You can't have an issue. The instant you do, you give it to God. You totally empty it at all points. When you use your mind to solve it, the Holy Spirit will be there to be your enemy. Because he's showing you a place where you're believing not on Christ. But we think there's this neutral ground, don't we? I think we have time. We have time. I'll clean the spots off the garment later. Those places where the garment's been spotted by the flesh, I'll just wash those later. No. You wash them with the word. If you don't accept this, that's not my business. But I want you to understand something. Real simple. Well, the ashes of the red heifer aren't that simple. But every time you touch a dead body, you become unclean. Just as Jesus was unclean after his resurrection. The disciples that were with him after he was, they couldn't go in the temple. That means every time your mind touches yourself, you're unclean. Well, put it another way, any time you give importance to your mind, you are Levitically unclean. Now let's go to one scripture real quick. Go to 1 John 5. Verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, to believe he is the Christ, you have to believe he's here and he's in you. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. There's no ever again any issue of hating your brethren, because everyone that's born of him is automatically loves everybody else that's born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous to us, because Jesus met them all. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water alone or only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now the reason water is here mentioned here is because all the times that you've been unclean, just as every time that somebody walked over a bone or touched a dead body or was in the room with somebody with a dead body or was in a room with somebody with leprosy, they were unclean. They had to go through the ashes of the red heifer ceremony in water to be cleansed. And so that's what this is, by blood and water. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. So it's literally like that plug. is plugged in to this electric for this recorder. If only it needs everything, the water, the spirit, and the blood, all are connected up to, they're connected to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And they connect only when all three are engaged. You understand? So you only, all you're doing to live this life is putting in the plug. But you can do this, you can reach over and turn the thing off. And that's what you do every time you start using your mind without repentance. You turn the machine off. You think it's recording. It's not. You think you're pleasing God. You're not. Because you're using your mind. This is why the sin offering is so critical. Everybody at least agree that what I've said tonight or today is a possibility?
Of course.
Can you believe it can be simple? It's as simple as breathing. Once you know that there's no good in your mind cannot do good, it cannot please God ever. The only thing that it can do, the one fail-safe that God made, is repentance. That's why the answer is always bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. So this is why I used to always ask the question, how's the using of your mind worked out for you? Brought you any peace? Brought you any joy that lasted? No. So again, going the way that you think is right, how's it worked out for you? If it worked out for you, you wouldn't be here. You certainly wouldn't listen to this stuff. All right, anybody else? Take a big guy.